Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock. Do the hammerlock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock.
Hiya there, pal. Welcome to a little bit of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am your host, Chris Things, Brian, your pal, Wrestling Art dude. I'm just a guy who likes to talk about some wrestling and talk about some art and, a lot of nonsense in between. On today's episode, I couldn't find anyone to talk nonsense with. I'm quite busy with all of the things. It's probably the most insane I've ever been with my in-person events, so thought I'd do a bit of a solo edition of the show for you guys today. Also, we have some great content from the last Wrestling Club event Part 5 at the lovely Scratch, as always, and it was just a lovely time. I had a great time. I was so stoked that everyone came along. We got to watch some great wrestling together, and we just got to vibe, and it was really nice. And we also had the lovely club member Joe, who now has been on the show a few times. Shout out Joe, who was kind enough to film my intro speech, as well as a little Q&A that we did around the room at the end. So, I just thought this was a tremendous event. So I'm glad we got to capture it in audio form. But after that, we had a crazy busy series of events. This past weekend had the Oddities and Curiosities Expo in Brisbane, which brought, it's up to a year worth of me doing these in-person events, being a traveling carny, just going all around the east coast of Australia, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, just hawking my art wherever I could, be it expos, artist markets, Lucha Fantastica, Mexican wrestling events, all around, other wrestling events, all sorts. And I was just delighted, to get to do this. I mean, I look back and I'm like, this has been a crazy change in my life, given up the world of marketing and graphic design and trying to travel Australia being an artist. So I thought I'd come on here today and we could talk a bit about that. We can talk about the thing, the life of actually, selling your art at markets in person, some of the things that go into it, some of the feelings behind it. I don't know, this might be interesting, this might be, not, who knows, but I think it's worth a try. So what we'll do today, in today's episode, after I finish rambling on about my current nonsense, we'll jump into Wrestling Club Part 5. Then out of Wrestling Club Part 5 and into a bit of a, my behind the curtain of what it's like to, try to sell your art in person, on location. But yeah, I mean, right now I'm in the midst of it. Got through that Brisbane one. It was such a good time as always. You know, so lovely to see everyone. I have an amazing story for you guys. So I think my favorite part of the entire weekend, I had this bloke who I actually was doing the market for the better part of it with my wonderful partner Kaylin. I'm so appreciative of her sticking with me and helping me through a massive weekend like that. Two full days at the Brisbane Convention Exhibition Centre. But yeah, she was the one who actually caught this to start with. This bloke, he actually bought a calendar, the Los Luchadores contra Cowboys de la Muerte calendar from me last year at last year's Oddities event in Brisbane, the one that kicked it all off. And I remembered his face, but sometimes you remember a face and you can't quite pick it. But Kayla noticed at the start with, apparently looked over with just a look of joy and such happiness that he like found me. And then he came over and he told me how he got that calendar last year and how much he loved the calendar and how much he digs, you know, my art and how much he likes it every month and how, it, you know, how much of a thing it is that he looks forward to in seeing my silly calendar art illustrations every month, my silly, holidays that I've curated through the year, Mexican wrestler birthdays, etc. But yeah, it was kind of mind-blowing to hear that from someone, and this bloke was just such a delight. You know, he's probably maybe mid-50s, he had some wonderful face tatties, but just such a lovely bloke, you know, and just for someone to have remembered my art, you know, from then to come along, and he said he came to that expo specifically to find me. He did his Google research, found my website, found the events that I was doing. And yeah, he said it was making a point. He had to find me on that day and come over and tell me and bloody well get a new calendar for, I believe it was his Christmas present. His wife procured this one. She was absolutely lovely as well. But man, that was just heartwarming. You know, I got to sign the calendar for him, write him a little happy birthday on his birthday in the calendar. And honestly, those kind of experiences make this whole thing worth it. This whole, like, travel and carny life. You know, as I'll say later in the show, there's some challenging parts of this thing, but it's those human interactions that I bloody live for. And it is so nice and it's so gratifying. I'm almost like welling up. There's a tear in my eye right now because it's just meant so much to me that, you know, I guess my art, I think it can be just a bit silly nonsense sometimes, but yeah, to hear that it does bring some sort of joy to people makes me so happy. So yeah, there were a bunch of other wonderful interactions like that and great chats that I got to have over the weekend, and yeah, I'm pretty stoked. I'm scared, but I'm stoked because, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to be traveling, flying out to Melbourne, which is like a 3-hour flight, two or three-hour flight from Brisbane. I've got a big old weekend of the Oddities coming up there. Then the week after that, it's going to be same thing all over again. I think I get 2 days back home in Brisbane, and then I fly down to Sydney for the following weekend. And I think I get back here like 2 days before Christmas. But man, I'm leaning into it because I love it. Doing everything that I can to build this thing up, grassroots, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, today's episode I thought might be a fun one. Just you and me, bit of wrestling club, and then yeah, I'll take you a little bit behind the curtain here of what it's like doing these events. So I think this might be a fun little episode. So I feel like you tuned in for a good one. Yeah. And if any of y'all do want to buy or support the Chris Things, jump on christhings.com.au, the greatest place where you can go to procure all those art prints, the Chris Things Match of the Week, Year One art book, calendars, as we just said, you can get one of those bad boys yourself. Just sent out one today, actually. A couple. Yeah, all right. That's my promotional cap off. All right, let's get ready for a little bit of Wrestling Club action. Remember that?
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Thank you for coming along tonight. Thank you to the Scratch. For those who haven't been here before, we're just going to play a bunch of weird little wrestling action, and hopefully everyone enjoys. Tonight I am also going to actually do a little bit of a trivia thing too. I know I promised this last time. I was probably a little bit drunk to remember to do it. But tonight I'm actually doing it, okay? I've got questions. Like, I've got a pad of paper, pens. It's going to be very official, all right? I also have the art prints, calendars, my book, all of that stuff around. So if you want to have a look through, I have my Pay Square. If you want anything, just let me know, and I can put that through for you. But we're mainly here to enjoy the wrestling. So without any further ado, let me take you on a trip through time and space, through the weird and wonderful eclectic world of the freak show that is professional wrestling. Enjoy!
Weird science, oh, magic and technology, voodoo dolls and chants, electricity will make it weird science.
Alright, so from that point forward, we jumped into a little bit of wrestling. So for the night, I played some tremendous stuff. I think people enjoyed. So we started out with this tremendous some excerpts I ended up playing through the evening of great 1972 Houston wrestling documentary called Friday Night at the Coliseum. This is available on YouTube. I highly recommend it to everyone. Just a glimpse, a snapshot for a totally different world of wrestling that I just adore. So we started off with that. That point, we jumped into a Vader highlight video from WCW Saturday Night from February of 95. We then got a Bam Bam Bigelow arrives in Memphis video, his actual debut in Memphis Wrestling in 1986. A tremendous video, highly recommend. People got a kick out of that one. Then we went to a Steiner Brothers highlight video, followed by... Actually, I tried to play this and it didn't work, so I played it later on, but for the purpose of the playlist, Big Bad and Dangerous, Big Van Vader and Crusher Bam Bam Bigelow versus the Steiner Brothers for the IWGP Tag Team Championship from the New Japan Masters of Wrestling events of 1992 at Budokan Hall. Man, so good that ended up becoming my match of the week. More about that later. We then got some Joshi action with Devil Masami versus Chigusa Nagayo from the All Japan Women's Grand Prix of 87 in Tokyo. We then got a great little Are You a Rap Master clip courtesy of WCW in the WCW Rap Contest competition of 1991, followed by some old classic British wrestling. Yes, Jimmy Breaks versus Johnny Saint from the Satellite Wrestling TV show from Screen Sport and All-Star Wrestling back in March of 1986 in Henley, Staffordshire. Then I want to continue the contrast here. I went from that to a little bit of Lucha Underground action with Rey Fénix versus Pentagon Jr. versus Drago, the big three-way AAA Lucha match that kicked off really a generation of American Lucha. That was hugely influential if we look back on that, that one being from November 12th episode of Lucha Underground in the Temple of Boyle Heights. We then jumped into some clips that are dispersed throughout again from Championship Wrestling from Georgia, the December 1st, 1984 episode, followed by we got into some Von Erich's world-class goodness with the Pizza Inn Von Erich's poster offer TV commercial. with Kevin Kerry and Mike from Spring of 85. Then got to a highlight video of the Freebird himself, Michael P.S. Hayes, the man from Bad Street, USA. Followed by getting a bit into that Freebirds Von Erich feud with Bill Mercer directing us along here, that being from World Class Championship Wrestling Television from April of 84. We then went to one of my personal favorite Freebirds vs. Von Erich's matches of all time from the World Class Parade of Champions, the David Von Erich Memorial Show from May 6th of 1984 at Texas Stadium between the Freebirds of Michael P.S.A.'s Terry Bam Bam Gordy and Buddy Roberts versus the Von Erichs of Kevin, Mike, and their mystery partner, who wound up being Fritz Von Erich, coming out of retirement one last time in a Come As You Are Bad Street match. That match just warmed my heart. We then got a little excerpt of Dusty Rhodes rambling about Dinglebury's during the Dustin Rhodes versus James Earl Wright WCW Prime match from April 3rd, 1995. We then jump into some classic Terry Funk versus Dusty Rhodes Texas Deathmatch action from Georgia Championship Wrestling TV, February 9th, 1980 episode, which included highlights of their Texas Deathmatch, along with Terry doing commentary for it and some incredible promos. At that point, let me have a look here, we then went into a Lucha Libre introduction from WCW with Mike Tenay. This one focusing on the masks of Lucha Libre and the tradition right there, followed by a classic 8-man Lucha Libre tag from WCW Nitro from September 22nd, 1997. And then we got a little bit of Dusty Rhodes and Tom Stymer selling cars. Wonderful commercials there. And finished it all up with a main event of Tatsumi Fujinami versus Genichiro Tenryu in one of the hottest, most violent and angry interpromotional matches that you ever did see. Tenryu representing War, Fujinami representing New Japan. This one taking place in 1996 in New Japan, and man, that match is absolutely tremendous. Highly recommended if you have not seen that before. But that was our wrestling club night. I don't know whether it's as fun me just running it down for you guys, but you know, I enjoyed it. Now we get to jump in to our audience at Wrestling Club 5, and we talk to them about what their favourite matches were of the evening. Let's go. Alright, so we've gotten to the end point of Wrestling Club Part 5 at the scratch, and we're going around the room. We're going to see. We played some weird shit tonight. I'm intrigued to see what landed with people, what maybe was offensive to people, what was, like, fun for people. So let's start here with the man, Joe, who is holding the interview device in his hand. Joe, what was your favourite match of the evening?
I'm going to be predictable and say the Joshi match that we watched.
Ooh, Chigusa Nagayo and Devil Masami. Man, nice.
I'm going to say that one. I'm just a sucker for that match, but with honourable mentions to Bam Bam Bigelow and Big Van Vader versus the Steiner Brothers. I've never seen two other human beings make the Steiner Brothers look like puny weaklings, but those two monsters did that.
Yeah, good choice.
So that's mine.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's move around in this direction. Is that anti-clockwise, I guess? Yes. Faz, Signor Fazio, previous guest on the podcast. What was your favorite thing you saw this evening?
I'm gonna have to go with the Lucha Underground three-way main event.
Well, all right, so Pentagon Jr. versus Rey Fénix versus Drago.
Indeed, yeah. I like it a little bit more fast-paced, and that was cool. I haven't seen a lot of Lucha Underground stuff, so that that piqued my interest.
Well, I highly recommend it as someone who I feel like appreciates the rest of Robert Rodriguez's, you know, stuff. Mm. I feel like you would quite dig the vibes of Lucha Underground, and it's a very special company to me. So that was the reason I put on a match like that, and also that was a match that really changed the perception of Mexican wrestling for generations of American wrestling fans. AEW, you know, that really launched the careers of Rey Fénix and Pentagon Jr. in America, and all the stuff they did in AEW was the Lucha Brothers and everything. So yeah,
changed my life, so thank you.
Thank you, friend Chris. All right, next up we got Brad. What do you think, sir?
Also going to go with Joe's runner-up, the Bam Bam Vader versus the Steiners match.
Ooh.
It's like, watching the match, I'm like, why wasn't Rick Steiner a star? And then I drew you a picture of Rick Steiner, and now I'm just like, I think I'm just going to watch a bunch of Rick Steiner matches. Apparently that's what I'm into now. This is good.
All right, I just want to say in this moment, I appreciated all of our entries for the illustration competition part of this evening. But my, and you might have spoken to me as just like a big time fan of the Steiner brothers. But I think you cleared the competition with your illustration of the dog face gremlin. Good job, sir. Everyone owes it to themselves to go back and like enjoy some Rick Steiner goodness. So thank you, friend.
Okay.
All right. Now what do we got over here on the couch part of tonight's proceedings? What do we think? The best, the worst? I'm intrigued in both.
I would have to say Terry Funk doing commentary on his own match against Dusty Rhodes. I think more people need to commentate over their own matches, but probably no one could do it like Terry Funk.
Absolutely. And I want to say that I'm heartbroken to the fact that we can't find these Texas Death matches or basically any of these classics that like Terry and Dusty had in like full unedited format from this era. Because, you know, they filmed these matches, they aired them on TV, they deleted the full matches or whatever. Breaks my heart that we don't get to watch these things in full. But, you know, I'm bringing to you guys today, like, the most full-form side of, like, Terry versus Dusty that I can possibly find. We do have a match that I could possibly play from, like, the mid-2020s between them in a cage match that might be just as good. I'm not sure. But yeah, it brings me a lot of joy to hear that you guys dig that kind of stuff too. That's the kind of stuff that I was saying that, you know, I'm not sure whether some of this stuff might just be my own interest and very selfish or whether other people might dig it. So to hear that you guys like pop for that kind of stuff too makes me very happy. So thank you.
I think I want to give a shout out to that British match between Jim Briggs and Johnny Sane. As someone who's like, I've kind of come into wrestling more recently because my partner is a really big fan. So I have like a base knowledge of like AEW, WWE stuff. But seeing that is like, it's so camp the way they're just like flailing around and dancing half the time. I think that's amazing. I love the camp is what really brings me in with wrestling. So I really liked that match.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me very happy. Again, that was another match where I think I said before it started, I was like, this might bring the entire room to a grinding halt. But yeah, I think there's, like at a previous wrestling club, I played a British wrestling match that was very sort of like gentlemanly sort of thing. And then this one sort of like played upon more, yeah, the pantomime sort of aspects
panto,
of it.
Very panto. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So stoked that that you guys like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is what wrestling club's about, guys. Everyone likes something different. That makes me very happy. If I had to pick my own, boy, you'd think I would have made my mind up before such point, but if I had to say it, I think it's probably that Tenryu Fujinami match. I love a good, you know, middle-aged man battle, so that's probably that one. But yeah, stoked everyone that we all appreciate something a little bit different, and that's the whole point of Wrestling Club. We have variety, all sorts of stuff. And yeah, there's something for everybody here. So thank you, everyone, for coming along. And it warms my heart that everyone's getting something out of this. So thank you so much.
Part five done and dusted. Now we have our part where I'm going to take you a little bit behind the curtain and talk to you about this thing. So again, I mentioned this has kind of come up to around about a year of me just traveling to Australia as a traveling carny selling my wares wherever I can.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You can go to my events page of christhings.com.au and check out all of the events. I keep up the past events part for, you know, so people can see the different journey that I've been on. So if you jump on christhings.com.au/events, you can see these travels. But yeah, it all started at this Brisbane one last year, Oddities Expo. And honestly, leading up to that was quite terrifying, because I just kind of had to work it out along the way. You know, it's not like you have anyone that holds your hand and says, all right, this is how you do it. I had to sort of just work out for myself, all right, how do I take my art from being something that, you know, I was already doing, you know, solo shows and group shows and art exhibitions and such up to that point. But I'd never done anything where I was, you know, just standing there selling my art to people face to face. So it was a big learning experience. I mean, the best thing I would say is that's the same for everyone. You're always going to, you know, work it out along the way. But yeah, I mean, the first considerations, I guess, were thinking about, you know, what was my display going to look like? How was I thinking about, you know, positioning my art for, you know, people to see it? That's probably the most important thing, right? So you sort of like do some research, and I kind of worked that out along the way, you know, even down to I think of something I really liked that I did for that one. I look back and I'm like, that was a good idea, was my table runner. Rather than, you know, getting something printed up or whatever, I wanted to have like a handmade feel, because, you know, handmade art is so important to me, the hand-generated component of what I do with this whole art stuff. So, you know, I wanted to do that. So I'm like, why don't I just paint, you know, my Chris Things art gimmick on the table runner itself? You know, so I did that. I went and got some bloody this fabric paint additive that you can add to, like, normal acrylic paint. It turns into fabric paint, which is pretty cool. And I just painted it on there. And in the end, I actually liked that so much. I don't know whether it was also like part of it, that first event felt very special to me. It was so heartwarming that, you know, I wanted to incorporate that into my brand. So I actually finally updated my logo, and I actually did a trace. My current logo, if you see it on my website or wherever, it's a trace of that one that I did for the bar runner. I mean, the table runner. So trying to, I don't know, but yeah, I think that ended up being a pretty cool thing. Then, once you get that kind of worked out, again, I was like, there's a point where I went to our local, like, department store. We call them Kmart here in Australia. I was in a Kmart, and I was just sitting down in an aisle,
Sometimes you got to do this on your own, right? I was sitting down that aisle and I just had a bunch of things surrounding me that I'd like found in the store thinking, would this be good? Would that be good? And I'm just sitting in the middle of this aisle on the floor with all of this shit around me, just having one next to another, being like, does this look better? Does this look better? Is this going to meet the dimensions of whatever art, man? I just think what anyone would have thought if they saw me doing that. But anyway, you work it out. And then, you know, after that sort of side of things, you have to think about, you know, what you're going to have an event like that, you know? Obviously, from doing this for a bit of a while, had sort of a bunch of kind of art prints already ready, kind of leftovers from previous art exhibitions that I'd done. So that was a really good starting point in hindsight. That was a really lucky thing that I kind of had those. I did get some more, you know, specifically printed up for the event. I, you know, got some frames and I framed some of them. Brought some original paintings along as well. But yeah, in terms of like choosing which of my, you know, art illustrations and artworks to print, that was a whole thing. You know, we're kind of lucky these days, I guess, where you think about it like, you know, the world of Instagram that we have, it sort of gives you a bit of a baseline barometer of what, you know, the kind of people that dig my art, you know, what they kind of dig most. But even that, from the experiences of like doing lots of these different events, you work out there's some stuff that might be, you know, have gone really well on Instagram, but doesn't have that same kind of appeal to, you know, your general kind of people that might be at an artist market or something like that, or might be at a wrestling show or who knows what. And then vice versa, there's stuff that might not have done that well, you know, in terms of like likes or sales online, that for whatever reason really have an appeal in person that people are real jazzed by. So in that sense, you can only really work it out as you go, you know, trial and error again. So that was a bit of a learning experience. Again, see, one of the best parts, I think, of doing this is me getting to be there behind my art table and see people come up and see their eyes kind of like light up, as cheesy as that sounds, when they see certain stuff, or you hear them like say something to a friend of like, oh, that one's great, or, you know, whatever. And I live for that stuff. So even if, you know, people don't buy something necessarily, there's a lot that you get out of doing these things that's very important to one's art practice, I think. So yeah, I mean, then like again, I was touching before on the original artworks that I bring along can be tricky, especially when you're traveling interstate, how much weight you can travel with. So I really have to limit myself as to what, you know, physical, you know, framed artworks I can bring with me on those trips. A lot of the time, you know, I'm thankful I have a scale here at home to weigh it, but, you know, we have a pretty harsh weight restriction limit here with what you can get on board without having to pay for a whole, you know, second stowaway bag here in Australia. So, yeah, that's a thing, trying to make your choice of, like, which one you're going to take with you or whatever. And I think there is some real value in making sure you at least have some original, you know, pieces there. You know, a lot of the time, I find in these events that I do, not everyone's looking to, you know, buy a, you know, be original painting, not ready to just dump, you know, several hundred dollars for an original. So that's where the prints can be a really good thing. But I still think the original paintings are a really good one for, you know, catching people's eye, you know, and sort of just conveying my vibes as an artist. You know, it's like, this is what I'm about. Even like the last Supernova one that I did for the Match of the Week Year One book launch in person thing, you know, I had that that big old self portrait painting that I did for the self portrait art exhibition that I brought along, and I didn't really think that I'd be selling that to anyone, but I thought it'd be sort of a good thing to kind of capture, like, this is me. This is Chris Things Art, you know? So, yeah, that is something. So these are all things to consider, and I guess what I'm trying to say is if anyone's listening to this who wants to kind of get into doing, you know, in-person artist markets, events, zine fairs, whatever, you're going to have to work it out along the way for the most part, what works for you, you know, what kind of you can put up in a decent amount of time and pack down regularly, all that kind of logistical stuff. If any of you ever have any questions and you would like to ask me anything, I'm more than happy to answer questions too, so please don't hesitate to reach out and swing me a message. Honestly, I always take it as such a compliment when younger artists ask me any sort of advice. There's a little bit of a part that like rings me with that kind of like imposter syndrome, like, what are these people asking me this for? You know, you have to check yourself and then be like, I'm honestly grateful, like super grateful and super stoked when that happens, because, you know, it's just a really nice thing. So I did also want to talk about during this thing of talking about these in-person events that I do, kind of the lifestyle change that it was, like the emotional element of it. This thing can be like an emotional roller coaster, dude. Like when I started that first one, that Brisbane first ever Australian Oddities and Curiosities Expo that I did, I had no idea what to expect. And like I said, I was absolutely terrified going into it. You know, you put on a brave face and you tell people, oh, I'm just excited about it, whatever. But in reality, you can be real scared because putting your art out there to, you know, in person, face to face, basically, like in a sense, you're like, here's my art. Is it good? Tell me it's good. You know, not it's like I'm thinking that's what I want to do, but in reality, there's a reality of to that. So I was scared, man. And then I had such a wonderful experience that weekend. It gave me so much more belief and confidence in my art and, you know, my viability of doing this as a full-time job. It was a life-changing experience, honestly. Like, that sounds like, you know, kind of bullshitty thing to say, but it's no exaggeration. It was life-changing. So I was on such a high after it. Like, these insane days, there's points where I had like massive lines of people. I was so tired afterwards, but I was on such a high, I just, like, wanted to go out and hang out with friends and celebrate it, you know? And then, so you go from those highs to doing, like, more events, you know, different ones and trying different things. And some of them are going to be good and some of them are not going to be so good. You know, you have some where you have that amazing, like, high again where it goes, like, really, really well. And then you have some that, like, sometimes it's not necessarily a reflection on the quality of your work, I don't think, but it is it's a tough thing to deal with when you have an event that just, you know, you don't really sell anything, you know, or you might not even feel like you're having that many chats with people, or you're just like, this just isn't my scene, or I don't know, it's variables. So I guess I wanted to touch on, like, when, and I've spoken about this before in this podcast, I know, but when you do have those times when it's like it doesn't go the way you envisioned, you know, it can be hard. You just have to sort of try to pick yourself back up. I've honestly, like, had events that I've done, you know, between you and me. Okay, there's probably the stuff I shouldn't, you know, say, but I want to be real with you. There's some events that I've done that, like, did so much less than my expectation that I had for them, or maybe the pressure that I put on myself for that weekend of traveling interstate and things like that, where I'd get done with the event and I'd, like, sit in my hire car and, like, cry a little bit, you know? And that's what I mean, like, the ups and the downs, and you just have to keep going, and you know that, like, any one kind of event isn't everything. You have to keep going. You can't, as an artist, let, I mean, the only time you can be properly, like, defeated as an artist, to me, is if you let yourself be, and if you let yourself have one of those events and be like, well, that's it, I'm never doing any more events, I'm never doing any more, you know, art exhibitions. I'm just, this is me done. So to get through that, you've got to just keep on keeping on, man. And it's easier said than done. Like I said, I've had some really bummed out times, but you know, then you have other events that just are amazing. And you know, you have these heartwarming experiences, like I talked about in the intro, that just take you back, you know. And I say to everyone at these events when I'm like chatting to different people, these different people that I meet, like, I'm there more for like the chats and the interactions with people and the people that you meet than I am, you know, to sell stuff. And, you know, that sounds like a nice thing to say or whatever, but there's a reality to it, because if you're there and you put that much pressure on yourself to, you know, sell a certain amount to break even or whatever it might be, you know, that can be a real fast track to being, you know, not being in a very good headspace and not being in a good space creatively to make more art into the future. So you have to kind of just take the pressure off a little bit and enjoy it for the little moments that you get. And you know, those little moments can just be an innocuous chat with someone who just, you know, might not even be planning on buying anything, but you have a nice chat with them. And I think it's these interactions that you go away from these events, and then it does drive your practice forward. So I don't know. I think we've kind of reached the end here. That was the main stuff I was wanting to talk about. I was wanting to talk about some logistics. I was wanting to talk about some of the emotional element of it. There is a big sort of toll that you kind of go through, but you have to just keep on doing it, man. And the positives far outweigh the negatives. You know, this probably isn't for everybody. And I'm just taking it one day at a time. And I'm seeing good signs. I'm hopeful, still terrified before every event. But yeah, you have to do it. You have to do it. I think even in as much as we're like online these days and, you know, there's a lot of like online sales and Instagram and everything like that, there's something I've noticed where there's still nothing quite like, if you want to build your art, you have to do it in person. You have to hustle, you have to travel, you have to put in the hard yards. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do my absolute best to, make this a thing. All right. I think that is the end here. I'd like to thank you so much for listening to this stuff. I'd like to thank everyone out there who is, you know, has supported, who's bought those calendars, bought those books, bought those art prints. If any of you guys are listening, I just want you to know that I really do appreciate you. You know, I try my best to make sure I do a little like handwritten message for every single one, and try to like throw in there a little something extra for you as a token of my appreciation. But yeah, you guys, like, if I'm doing this, it's you guys that are supporting that is making that possible. So I want to thank you massively. And yeah, even if you don't have, you know, said funds to be able to buy art, I know a lot of people can't, and that's just not a thing. That's totally fine. I just want you to know I still appreciate everyone that is, you know, voluntarily listening to my nonsense, who's liking the stuff that I put on Instagram, all that good stuff. So I want to say a big old thank you to everyone once more. As I approach a big old end to 2024, what a wild year it's been. I'd like to also say a big old thank you to the great team at Social Suplex. If you'd like to check out other rad wrestling podcasts, they got a whole bunch from One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, to Imps WWE Adventure. I think we've got a AEW podcast there. All Things Elite, I believe. There's also an AEW match recommendation podcast. Trish and Sarah podcast. Tunnel Talk. Yeah, man. There's a bunch. You should check it out. SocialSuplex.com. Thank you to the Social Suplex team for keeping the lights on and, you know, allowing me to do this thing.
But yeah, I think that's the end of our little solo edition of the show here. I think it's good for me to just kind of like gather my thoughts when it comes to this kind of stuff. I treat this sort of like an audio journal in a sense. So yeah, it's I'm just trying to document where I'm at right now as best as possible in an open as possible manner. And yeah, hopefully you find that interesting. Someone does, I don't know. Anyway, that's enough of my lollygagging. Let's get out of here. And I will see you next week, hopefully for some match of the week action. Later.
I do the hammer lock. And do the hammer lock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammer lock. I do the hammer lock. Everybody's doing it. Do the eye gouge. Yeah, do the eye gouge. Do the eye gouge, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the eye gouge.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.